Woo, woo, woo. I don't know where Mason is. He'll be in here in a second. We spent probably most of the day today, Slee, talking about yesterday, the ceremony, the statue, the event inside the stadium. What was your, you know, 10,000-foot takeaway for it?
I nobody does ceremony like the Lakers. They're just great at it. And so the ceremony was awesome. The game, less so, simply because the Lakers' margin for error now with all these injuries is almost zero. Yeah. And against a good team like Denver, I don't know how they win. They can win tonight. But
Pelicans, right?
Yeah. But without D'Lo in that game, I thought we were severely restricted. You got to score to beat Denver. You need somebody who's going to put up points.
Do we know about
like
D'Lo tonight?
I saw him walking out last night, and he wants to play. Okay. Now, whether they let him, that's a different story. Mm-hmm. But I said, are you playing tomorrow? He goes, if it's up to me, yeah. So I think he wants to play. I would think he's gonna.
John, go back to the first thing you said, because I mentioned it to Al earlier as well, that just the Lakers, when it comes to ceremony, pomp and circumstance, big shows, they just don't. Is it just because they do it more than everybody else?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
And, Jeannie and Linda have been around forever. Linda's title is, I'm talking about Linda Rambis, Director of Special Projects, and all those things are special projects. Mm-hmm. So when she gets involved, she's just really good at it. And that yesterday was mostly done by Vanessa. They worked really closely with her, and she kind of made all the decisions. And I thought it went really well. I thought they did a great job.
I think one of the cool things, I think the fact that we're in L.A., that we're in quote-unquote Hollywood, mm-hmm. everybody steps up their game because they know, there's premieres and there's all kinds of stuff. And I think they bring that energy to an event like they did yesterday.
Got to, like, what one event's upping the other. And you better be ready to perform.
Well, if you don't get on that level, you look ridiculous, mm-hmm. right? Like, if you have a big moment and you flub it, and the Lakers are knocking it out of the park, and the Dodgers are knocking it out of the park, and you have your moment, it's like, well, that kind of sucked. It's going to look even worse by comparison.
Well, I always say to Mace, follow the money on certain things. Do you guys realize that the LA Times went through all those cutbacks about, 2-3 weeks ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Over 100 employees, I think.
The only teams that are going to have beat writers now at the LA Times are the Lakers, the Dodgers, and USC football. Everybody else, nobody going.
Yeah.
And it goes to show you who runs this town. It's a Laker and Dodger town. And USC football is super lucrative. So, and then you saw today with Chip Kelly leaving, UCLA football is going the other way.
I don't know if there's a more powerful metaphor than your coach, your head coach, quitting to go become a coordinator in the same conference.
By the way. In February.
In February.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This has been coming for a while. And what this is going to come down to is UCLA needs to decide if they're in the football business or not. There's a little bit of a bait and switch going on here. They took the money to go to the Big Ten, and now they're not paying NIL. So where do
period?
Where do you think the kids are going to go? No, the reason Chip Kelly is leaving, and you can – you'll hear a million different stories about this, but the reason, if you talk to, matter of fact, if my neighbor Bruce Feldman's all over this, we should have Feldman on.
Sure,
today.
Absolutely.
What he will tell you is that if you're not competitive in the NIL world, you're a have not.
Right.
And the first indication of this was D'Anton Lynn, the defensive coordinator at UCLA. The minute USC came to get him,
he was gone.
UCLA didn't even count.
They just doubled his salary.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and
when you say they're not doing NIL, is that like they're not doing it, or they're doing it at a lower level?
They're doing it at such a lower level that they're not competitive.
Now, one of the things, and this is Bergman, we'll talk about this because Greg is obviously a big UCLA football fan. One of the things he says is that the reason why NIL was limited is because all of the alumni really disliked Chip Kelly and did not buy into what he was doing.
I'm in that boat.
And maybe that will change new head coach, and maybe they do get into it.
They have to have people with deep pockets.
Well, Casey Wasserman is the deepest of the deep pockets.
That was the booster that I think you'd mentioned in the past was a fan of Chip Kelly, right?
I don't know. I've never talked to Casey about Chip. But, Chip's a good football coach. He's just a terrible face of the program because he's never happy. He's a grump. doesn't love recruiting.
He doesn't like people.
By the way, right. Well, there's a kid that there's a kid that works for us that played as a walk-on for Chip, and we brought him in here one day.
Oh yeah.
And I threw that at him, and I said, "Hey, here's the reputation reputation of Chip Kelly. Not having fun, doesn't enjoy it, doesn't like recruiting." And the guy said, "Chip is two things: books and ball, and that's it. And there's nothing else." Hmm. And so what would happen would be UCLA would get a recruit on campus, and the recruits would love it. They see all the girls running around in shorts. It looks like Camelot over there. It's just spectacular. And they'd be ready to the football facility. The new football facility over there is awesome. They'd be ready to sign. And when it came time to pay up for NIL, nothing.
Now my brother and nephew are gigantic, like really deep into the program, Ohio State fans.
Okay.
By the way, Ohio State, $14 million NIL pool.
Sure.
And I heard from
them. That's got to be as big as anybody's.
I heard from them today. Why are we getting this has-been they're down. Chip Kelly?
Oh, but I think Chip. I think Chip is ideal for a coordinator.
So he could just worry about that. Doesn't have to worry about raising money, donors, nothing.
But he doesn't have to recruit.
Don't you think at this point, like 15 years ago, he was state of the art? I don't think he's state of the art.
He's behind now. Yeah, he was ahead 15 years ago. But what he's a darkroom guy.
Yeah,
he's a darkroom. I'm going to sit in this room with my laser pointer. I'm going to run this play forward and back, 10,000 times. I know where every piece on the board is, and I know where to put my tight end in the one spot. I'm going to figure that out. I'm going to watch this play a billion times. Have him go meet with a kid. Have him go meet with alumni. Have him go meet with boosters.
It's not his strength.
He can't do it. You need a CEO as a head coach. If he knows football, great, even better. But schmooze the alumni, schmooze the NIL people, schmooze the media, schmooze the fans. He's a darkroom guy. Yeah. Give him a laser pointer and let him figure out plays. He'll be all right.
Yeah, I think he'll be good at Ohio State, but I'm glad he's leaving. As a UCLA fan, I'm and like there's this rumor we might get PJ Fleck. He'd be perfect.
He's a good coach.
He'd be good. Yeah.
He's a really good coach.
I'd way rather have PJ Fleck than Chip.
Oh, yeah.
Had an 11-win season, has won 3 straight bowl games. There are a lot of reasons to like PJ Fleck.
Where are you guys watching the Super Bowl?
I'm going to a party. Okay. One of Lisa's friends, who I like a lot, and they're loaded, so it's going to be a really good party.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Is it a football party? Is it like a party for people that aren't big football people? You understand what I'm asking?
Yeah.
Like, are you going there? People that are there will be excited to watch the football game.
Oh, hell no.
It's a party. It's a party.
They'll be excited about what's in the bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you guys? Party?
Not me.
No.
I'm not going to a party. Yeah. I got invited to one, and I'm like, no, I like to watch the game.
I'm with you.
You know,
I'm trying something.
See the commercials. Yeah. I've got a million bets on the game.
I got a few. Yeah. I got a few. I'm playing golf in the morning, John. I've never done that before. Where you kind of go out, I'll be done.
I do it regularly.
Do you? Is it as empty as I'm hoping it'll be?
Let me tell you, it's great. You'll have the whole rest of the day, but it's going to be in the 40s in the morning.
Mm. That's all right.
Yeah,
I'm
so
insulated.
You just got to layer up. But I love playing in the morning and having the whole course. The greatest thing in the world is, I have them twice this weekend, is getting the first tee time, because then nobody's in front of you.
That's a good deal.
You just go.
You ever play on Christmas?
What's that?
You ever played on Christmas? I've heard there's literally nobody out
there. Well, you know when the absolute best day to play is on
Christmas Eve?
No.
Super
this
Bowl.
Sunday.
Yeah. They say go to the malls.
You know who taught me that? Remember, there was an NBC sportscaster, I think he's passed away now, named Charlie Jones.
I remember Charlie Jones.
Yeah, I remember
Charlie that?
Jones.
He used to live in San Diego, and what he told me once was, if there's ever a course I said, can you get on at Torrey Pines? He goes, yeah, and you know when I play? Right during the Super Bowl. I taped the game, and he goes, I got the whole course to myself.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to play poker Sunday morning.
Okay.
At Commerce Casino. And I've been on a pretty decent run.
Well, you just mentioned that you got your bets going on. Now you're going to go play a little poker on Super Sunday.
Hey, I need some action,
I was going to say, you got a little Jones
action.
Right
exactly.
Now, right?
I really am.
He's
like some action.
15K on the coin flip.
I've got 10K on the coin flip.
Okay. On your mythical money.
I just made ridiculous bets. Like I've got 3 parlays going. One of the bets I have is that you're on this too, Mace. Reba McEntire will sing the anthem in under 89.5 seconds.
I don't know why I know this, but do you know that the over-under on Reba's anthem is the lowest ever?
Well, historically, she sang it 10 years ago and did it in 83.
Yeah.
Right. So I got a 6.5 second buffer.
Like sometimes the over-under on the anthem is over north of 2 minutes.
I got 50,000 5,000 mythical dollars on Usher's first song being...
We got one on the Gatorade bath, the color
I
of
heard
the Gatorade.
You went
go
really,
orange.
Travis
went
totally
orange.
No. has
it was
this
orange last year.
I think he's
Travis
right.
nailed it. Explain, Trav.
It's red
right.
because both teams are red.
Both
so they're going to fill the buckets with red so it looks
last,
good when they take
right
the pictures.
No, last year when the Chiefs won it, it was orange.
Okay, but there was
there
not
red,
two reds.
I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
Right? I just feel like that if we're making a TV show, which we are, you want the pictures to look good.
Yep.
You want the photographs
right, so
to look good.
So here's my first parlay. Tell me what you guys think of this. All right. Anthem under 87.5.
Good.
Actually, it's up to 89.5.
89.5,
yeah.
Yeah. Listen to us. Oh, it's 89. It's up to 89.5.
That's not as good a value.
Yeah.
No score. Mason's on the other side of this bet. I say no score in the first 7 minutes.
And I say yes, somebody scores.
Super Bowl starts slow.
I'm
going anecdotally here, but they feel like they always start slow.
Kansas City has scored on their first drive in each one of their playoffs.
I say a field goal is
worth it.
I think at least a field goal.
Seven.
Yeah.
All right. So okay. That could screw me. All right. Jersey number of the first TV scorer, odd.
Wait, what?
Okay. So you can pick an odd or even. I'm thinking it's either going to be McCaffrey, who's 23, mm-hmm. or Kelsey, who's 87. If Pacheco scores first, I'm screwed because he's 10.
I'm confused at what we're betting on.
In other words, it's an odd number versus an even number.
Oh, at the first commercial?
No. The first person to score a touchdown in the game
is
his number odd or even.
Now I got it.
Basically, Mahomes is 15.
Yep.
Right. Kelsey's 87.
87. McCaffrey's 23.
What's Debo? Debo's 19.
Right. Purdy's 13.
What is Pacheco?
10.
He
could
be the one that would screw the whole thing up.
All right. You're odd.
First offensive play of the game. Yeah, I'm odd. All right, first offensive play of the game, run.
Oh, I go pass.
Very first play.
Yeah.
I think they're going to wade into it.
There's a chance Purdy could throw on the first. If it's Mahomes, they're going to pass it.
Mm-hmm. All right.
If they have the ball first, they're going to pass
it. I think Kansas City's going to run the ball. All right, so that's my first parlay. My second parlay, under 4.5 sacks total in the game.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'd go over.
Okay.
They both got good defenses.
KC for the game. Over 23.5 points.
Yes. I like that. I like that for sure.
And then the last one, Mahomes over 4.5 rushing attempts.
Rushing attempts?
Yeah.
Well, I like that.
Okay. And kneel downs count as a rushing attempt.
Do sacks count too?
No.
No, just kneel downs.
Kneel downs or
scrambles.
Scrambles. Or
4.5?
4.5.
Oh, yeah. Over.
He's run for 6 in the last 2 playoff games. All right.
How about this one crazy one?
Okay.
1,000 mythical dollars. Sam Darnold, Super Bowl MVP. It is 300 to 1.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I mean, I'll throw
right.
1,000 at
so
that.
My Hail Mary is this. $1,000, this pays 90 to 1.
Okay.
Okay, if it hits. I'm just throwing it out there that this could be a defensive battle. I think Kansas City's defense is underrated. Yeah. So, Mahomes under 282 passing.
Okay.
Okay.
He was
Mahomes
under
1.5 passing touchdowns.
Okay.
Okay. Kelsey under 72 yards receiving.
Wow, you're going the under and all that
stuff. I'm worried
McCaffrey
about.
Under 89.5 rushing. Debo under 59 receiving. Kittle under 59 receiving. Brandon Ayuk under 52.
Now I know why it's 90 to 1.
90 to 1 is about right on that one. Yep.
Yeah. So, but it's $1,000.
It's fun.
Do you have your sheet out when you're watching the game? Are you checking these things off as they go?
I will have my
you
bourbon out when I'm watching the game.
No worthy splash?
Not at this party.
All right.
I have a whiteboard with all my bets.
Do you really?
I have a whiteboard with all my bets.
Trav, I need something I can refill throughout
not
the
right
game.
Now.
You refill the tequila, and you're being carried home in a wheelbarrow.
Yeah, sometimes you got to take one for the team, John. Super Crosstalks brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out. That's what a hamburger is all about. Enjoy the game.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
No open today.
Hey, what happened there?
Morales must have been.
Morales must have got into the bar at East Central.
We do lit every. We do lit every Tuesday. I think Morales. I saw him last night. He was doing lit last night. I believe he was lit last night.
It was fun yesterday.
It
last
was.
Night
it was a fun night in the suite last night. It was actually, and John, you'll be happy to know, I made it home in time for the fourth quarter.
I told you. You
where I can actually.
Michael goes, Mason, you can stay for the second half. Mason goes, yeah, yeah, I'm staying.
Have you?
No, I would have bet any amount of money he was.
Have you
staying.
Tried to watch a game from the suite?
No.
It's not about the game. It's definitely not about the game.
It's not. I asked you in
the suite.
It was packed. Halftime, right? And you're actually, you were still there.
I was still there into the third quarter. Yeah, yeah. I was talking to some of our partners, and yeah, it was a really fun night. It was a fun night.
Nice job.
So it's BB Go Fifth Row Fridays. That means something we say today will be on the quiz at 3:30 for a chance to be in the fifth row for a Lakers game, Lakers versus Washington on February the 29th. Again, especially the Monday question is tough, I think. Especially
think
the
so?
Monday question. That was me and Trav on a combo plate.
I don't think that's
You don't
hard.
Think that's I think that's tough.
I think that one, I think the
Well, didn't you guys say last week the guy got the first caller got all five?
Bam, 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 bam.
Yeah, I've always wondered, like would it be better to be the first caller because you get the first crack at it,
right,
or be farther down the line because somebody can set you up?
Sure, you hear the
I'd
first
wanna,
three.
I think I'd want to go first.
Me too.
You want to go first. They got a first
just,
last year.
You know, if I fail, but I don't want anybody having a chance to snake me.
Exactly.
I think
exactly.
Yesterday's question is hard. I think the question on Wednesday is hard, but that's it. The other ones are pretty easy.
Yeah, and something will be on the quiz today. And by the way, beautiful day yesterday, beautiful night last night at Crypto. I thought the Lakers played really well.
Well,
I mean, they're outmanned, and they're obviously missing guys that would have made a difference. Cam Reddish, they're especially missing Jared Vanderbilt, who could have done. We could have used some help on Jamal Murray.
It's interesting that those are the two names that you pull out.
Oh, and D'Angelo.
Yeah, I mean, Russell's been our third best player, and in many cases, our second best player for about a month.
But I watched Jamal Murray have a really good night, and I wondered what could we have done defensively again with a Jared Vanderbilt.
Well, Murray's great. He's just a really good player. But Russell would have at least, I think Murray had 32 points or something.
Yeah.
I think Russell has been averaging 28.
Yeah,
so
right.
So we would have neutralized
him
a little bit.
Sure,
sure.
Hey, John, do you think that Jokic and Murray are the best 1-2 in the league?
Boy, that is a great question.
Because they're very underrated. People don't talk about
they've got the best
two.
One in the league.
Well, Jamal Murray is really,
yeah,
really
Jamal Murray
good.
Is really good. I would put just slightly, I'd put Kawhi and Paul George ahead of him. Just slightly.
I like that Murray and Jokic are different positions.
Kawhi's been the best player in the league for the past 2 months.
Right, but I think the first half of the last game, Paul George was terrible.
You absolutely can make that. You know what, though? I watched that game you're talking about. Yep. That was the game the Pelicans beat the Clippers. That game made me more convinced that the Clippers and the Nuggets are the teams to beat in the West.
Right, right.
Because, you're right, Greg. Paul George started 0-for-9.
Yep.
Kawhi had 4 points at halftime. So you figure, oh, they're going to get killed. They're down by 8. You know, like, they're just super deep and really good. I don't know. I asked Michael last night if it's Clippers and it's Nuggets,
go Nuggets
in the Western
Clippers,
Conference
Nuggets.
Finals.
Yeah.
That's what Michael said, too.
Yeah.
But who would you favor?
I'd still favor They still have Jokic.
I know who you're rooting for, but who would you favor?
They still have Jokic.
Well, and Denver's been there, and the Clippers haven't.
Right.
You know, the Lakers, I kept making this point last night during the game. There were five or six ties in that game, including the Lakers tied it at 100.
Weirdly, I don't think the Lakers never led, did they? They tied, but never led.
They never got over the hump. And that's kind of what Denver does to you. They let you hang around.
Yeah.
But when, like the game was on the line when it was tied at 100 with like 3 minutes to go, 10-2 run by Denver.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you
mostly by Murray.
Tell you this much, Ireland. Trade deadline's passed. These are our guys. Let's go.
Yeah. Well,
these are our guys.
Yeah, they need to get healthy.
Yeah.
And Russell is more important than people are giving him credit for, so hopefully we get him back tonight.
And I heard, by the way, that Spencer Dinwiddie is a real possibility for
the Lakers. I think we're
going to get him. Yeah, I do too.
I don't know that, but I know that there's interest, mutual interest on both sides, and the Lakers are in a position where they can pay him.
The other team that was going after him, I believe, was who played the Knicks last night? It was Knicks and Dallas.
Sounds right.
I think he was. So Dinwiddie was at that game. He was at the Knicks Dallas.
Well,
game
he's already played for Dallas.
Yes,
and he played in Brooklyn.
Right in Brooklyn,
but not in New York. But he's from L.A.
Right,
he grew up here.
I think it's going to be L.A. also. But he was at that game, and Dallas is looking.
And
at
he'll help. He can organize an offense, second unit offense.
Well, what he can bring you is scoring off the bench.
Right.
Which right now, you're getting it from Torian Prince, and that's about it.
Yeah. I read that Torian Prince his name was bandied about, and Darvin was dead set against moving Torian Prince.
That's his guy.
Yeah, that's his guy. Clearly.
Had him in Atlanta.
Yep.
Starts him a lot.
Fans love him.
Well, he comes off the bench now, and but he still plays 35 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, the reason he played 35 minutes last night is they started Max Christie, and Christie sprained his ankle, and so they started Prince in the second half.
Is he okay? Is he going to be back?
I don't know.
I
haven't heard.
I forgot about that, yeah.
But it's just another body that's down, you know. And New Orleans is good. New Orleans and the Lakers have had a weird exchange so far this season. So the first game they played, semifinals of the in-season tournament, Lakers destroy the Pelicans by 44. They were up like 30 at halftime. It was just a complete blowout. And then on New Year's Eve, we were in New Orleans, and the Pelicans won by 20. And the Pelicans are playing a lot better now than they were during the in-season tournament. They've got the longest win streak in the West, four in a row. And they beat the Clippers, who have been really good the other night. So this is no walk in the park tonight. This is going to be close.
Are Michael and Pepe coming in today or not? Pepe told me he is coming in.
No, they both are. Michael, okay, did you guys, I can't remember, did you guys go to the Trailblazer movie about Michael's life when we had it at the movie theaters?
It was great. It was right at the LA Live.
Remember his high school coach who said, man, I ain't got time to worry about birth certificates, and we all had a big kick out of it. We called him Huggy Bear.
Huggy Bear, yes.
Just passed away. So Michael's going to the funeral. He's not going to be here for Tuesday or Wednesday's game, but he'll be here today.
He will be here today.
Yeah.
So last night I saw Gary the Sign Guy.
Yeah, he says he's bringing a sign. By the way, no one waved to Pepe last night.
Well, that's because the sign hasn't gotten there yet. Now the sign is going to make a difference. The wave to Pepe sign is going to make
a
huge difference.
All I can say is you and Greg and somebody else were demonstrative as you can be. Greg was selling wave to Pepe.
Yeah,
Greg was yelling wave to Pepe so loud that I could hear him from my seat 20 rows away, and I had headphones on.
Yeah, by the way, and Bergman was like,
wave,
come on,
Pepe.
Everybody! Come go on, everybody!
Greg,
Greg,
honest answer. How many people responded to your plea?
Zero, and they looked at me like I was crazy.
They did look at you like you were crazy.
And so
they
yesterday, Pepe does his wave, and we look over at him, and Michael and I are going like this, like, where, Pepe, where? Point to one person, and he's like pointing all around the building. Not one person.
I talked to him last night. He says he's very excited for the sign. I think the sign can make all the difference.
Let's see. We'll find out.
Speaking of sign man, last night he gave me the Kobe. I got a picture of holding the Kobe sign.
Gary Martin did?
Super cool.
Yeah, good guy.
Super cool. Great guy. And he's the one making the wave to Pepe sign. All right, so that UCLA thing's interesting. We'll do a little of that. Did we decide we're calling Bruce Feldman?
When do you want me to call him?
Yeah.
See when he's available.
Yeah, see when he's available. Yeah. We'll do that coming up for you. It is Super Bowl Friday, and it is Bud Light Football Friday on 710. We get you pumped for the Super Bowl weekend, and this weekend be sure to crack open a Bud Light. Bud Light, easy to drink, easy to enjoy. Pick up Bud Light at your local convenience store today for Super Bowl Sunday. Bud Light Football Friday all day long on 710 ESPN.
All right, Bibigo is the official game day snack of the Lakers. Mouth-watering Korean snacks and meals in minutes. Keep your freezer stocked with Bibigo for a delicious meal in minutes. I guess Bergman was telling me they had Bibigo in the suite.
There
last
were.
Night.
There was Bibigo there last night. They had delicious dumplings.
That's their number one item.
Yeah.
Korea's number one food brand. They're making the whole world more delicious. Like they say, minimum effort, maximum flavor. It's available at all major grocery stores in the freezer aisle. Bibigo Mandu are the largest, juiciest dumplings in the market. Every day is the day to live delicious with Bibigo, the official game day snack of the Lakers.
Hey, John's neighbor's here. Hello, neighbor. Joining us right now is the great Bruce Feldman, the best college football writer in America, and also John's neighbor.
Now, Bruce, before we get to the important issue at hand, now that I have Mason here and I have him on the spot, is it too late for
it
me?
It is not. I know what you're going to say. If my daughter was home from school, she would be all in on this,
okay,
too.
Mace?
Yep.
I bought cookies from Riley Feldman last week. Lisa bought them, so I'm not sure. But how many boxes you want?
I want one box more than however many Lisa
okay,
bought.
Okay, so Bruce, we will get to the bottom. We will get to the bottom of that.
I will not be topped, Bruce.
And we will. And if anybody else wants to buy cookies from Riley, just tweet me,
yes,
or tweet Bruce,
or do
either one.
Yeah, exactly.
And we'll get Riley. We'll get you on her order form.
Yes.
So, Bruce, we will not rest until Riley wins her Girl Scout cookie selling contest.
Thank you, guys.
All right. Now, okay. So this Chip Kelly thing to me is interesting. I had heard that he wasn't really happy and that there was a chance he would leave UCLA, but the timing of it is weird. Bruce, why do you think it's going down this late in February?
I think there's a few, it's really, the thing got really messy all the way through. And I think what you had was, there's a lot of people, a lot of UCLA fans who I think were like, why didn't they do this after Arizona State, which was right before the game at USC? They didn't. Then obviously they smash USC, and then they have a clunker performance against Cal. And what it felt like was when Garbers was healthy, they were pretty good. When he wasn't, they were not that good. And I think they got kind of stuck. And in the case with Chip, knowing this from, having been around him quite a bit over the last few years, I think this job changed for him and changed when college football changed a lot. The job he took when he got hired coming out of the NFL, there wasn't NIL. And I think they were caught pretty flat-footed on the NIL front. And I know this. When anything kind of pivoted to in the recruiting part, to a discussion about NIL and, hey, what can you guys get us? And they didn't have anything. And I think what made it different was, as much as this job, and Martin Jarman, the AD, just kind of talked a little bit about what he's looking for in the next UCLA coach. But I think you have to be somebody, yeah, it's important to develop players and identify talent, but you got to go really recruit the boosters and the donors now and get them more engaged. When he's the head coach at Oregon, you have one enormous booster all night.
Right.
Here, you don't really have that dynamic. And I think there was a lot of, your callers know this and most UCLA fans, I mean, the ones I know as well, I think they were frustrated at Chip's approach to recruiting. And so they were kind of all out on him. I think when it came to X's and O's and the team, I think they did develop good players, and I think they were able to get better when they got into the portal and did really well. And I think they took players who'd been someplace else and developed them, and then it worked. But then once the rules changed, those players were able to transfer multiple times without being graduates, then it became much harder because then other teams would say, hey, they would offer them low six figures, and UCLA couldn't compete with that.
Okay, Bruce, you've taken me right where I wanted to go. I know NIL is the main issue here, but is UCLA guilty of not ponying up? In other words, they're anti-NIL and they're just not going to do it? Or was Chip just really bad at it and they feel like they can be competitive in NIL if they get a different coach?
I think we're going to find out the answer to that when they get a new coach. You know, and Martin Jarman is, you know, we reported this earlier. He told the team 96 hours. That's not far off. So whoever they get is going, I suspect, is going to be somebody who's going to beat the bushes and really hustle to get, you know, the boosters engaged, to get the NIL ramped up. Because that was the piece that was missing. And ultimately, you know, you couldn't out-scheme that, you know, and it became a different kind of ask. And I think that was the, I think that's the part that is going to be fascinating going forward. Whoever they hire, whether it's PJ Fleck from Minnesota or whether they try to bring back, you know, Deshaun, who was, you know, was obviously a great running back and now just went to the Raiders, or they promote a Kaika Malloy, or bring Tony White in, or whoever, or go across town and try to bring Danton Lynn back. They have to find somebody who is going to get the boosters engaged in a big way to get NIL fueled up. Because right now, I mean, it's already, you can't, you know, from a resources standpoint, I think it's hard to compete with USC in terms of the money they spend on football. There's a different level of tradition. I think it's an uphill climb to begin with. So now you really have to find a way to get these, get the boosters going. And I think also, you know, some of it was, I think when Chip looked at it, it was like, wait a minute, the rules are saying, you know, like what the booster involvement is supposed to be. I think it got into like a very, you know, kind of an awkward spot. And it felt like it was always an awkward spot.
Bruce, are we watching a trend sort of unfold? Chip Kelly leaves a head coaching job to take an offensive coordinator job. Jeff Hafley from Boston College, head coach, took a job as a defensive coordinator in the NFL. Is head coaching at the collegiate level just gotten very, very difficult and guys don't want to deal with it?
It's different now, because I think there's so much more of like the general managing that has to go on if you're a head coach, you know, not just be a CEO of, you know, your staffs are way more bloated now with all the people involved. I think the guys who really just want to quote coach ball, you're better off if you can get to the NFL to do that, because then all of a sudden you also have some semblance of an off season. You know, I you know, have a story I've been working on for a little while about what you just asked me. And, you know, nothing drives college coaches more up a wall than the summer months. You know, in the NFL, you have some semblance of normalcy in a family life. In college football, you are grinding all year round, essentially. And, yes, a lot of guys are getting paid really, really well. They're also getting paid really, really well in the NFL. So if you can make that happen, I think a lot of guys are going to go there. It doesn't mean the sport is going away, because there's a lot of guys who won't be able to coach in the NFL or don't have the access or the resources to get those jobs. But ultimately, I think it has gotten way, way more complicated, because the truth is these coaches, especially at the college level, people need to save them from themselves. They're basically created a calendar that's unsustainable. And so that's why you're getting, you know, and Hafley story is a little, you know, I know it's been spun a certain way, but Jeff Hafley also was probably a year away from maybe being forced out at Boston College, you know. So he left to go to the Green Bay Packers. If he has a really good year, he could be interviewing for NFL head coaching job.
Right.
You know, as opposed to BC, where you're fighting with a short stick in the ACC.
All right, Bruce, I'm going to throw a name out there that it's going to sound ridiculous, and I think you're going to tell me I'm out of my mind, but I'm just going to throw it out there because it's good radio fodder. Pete Carroll. Does he even get a phone call?
Man, he, you know, he should, because the guy's still got a ton of energy.
Right.
He would, you know, like, I don't know if that would be interesting, because obviously Pete's son is now the OC at Washington. And Pete obviously knows this area really well, and coaches, high school coaches all know him, and he's a recruiting machine. Yeah, you know, if I was UCLA, and obviously I'm not the AD, I'd be like, yeah, how interested would, because the guy has a ton of energy. Anybody who watched him knows that. You know, I mean, obviously Ken Norton is on the staff. He knows people here. I don't know what it would be like for him to go cross town, but man, you
well,
know,
Dan
like,
Lynn just did it.
Yeah.
I mean so you mentioned
Dan
Lynn.
With way less ties, but yeah.
Right.
Yes, you're right.
And I'm assuming Jerry Neuheisel probably too young.
I think Jerry's probably a little too young. I mean, the names I had heard was Malloy, who's well thought of, and he's got a lot of recruiting ties on the West Coast. And then obviously, you know, Deshaun Foster, great running back, did a really good job, you know, as, you know, kept on cranking out talent. And I think that one of the things that Martin Jarman has really, you know, got to decide, or, you know, I know he wants somebody with head coaching experience. And part of that is because you know how to run a big operation. You know, the name that I've heard a lot in the last, like, whatever, you know, few hours has, if from industry sources, has been PJ Fleck.
Oh, yeah, I would love that.
He's great.
I would love that. Oh, man, that'd be. Why would he leave Minnesota, Bruce? Is UCLA that much a better job than Minnesota?
I think your recruiting base is way better.
Yeah, I guess you're recruiting California, sure.
Your recruiting base is way better. I think the part that would be interesting is, look, you know, he knows the Big Ten. He was the Big Ten Coach of the Year in 2019 when they won 11 games. The part I'm curious about a little bit is, you know, his big mantra is row the boat, and it's all in on row the boat. And he's got a ton of energy, no doubt about that. I don't, you know, I'm curious how the row the boat thing would play out here in Los Angeles, you know, but he's very different from Chip Kelly. And, you know, that might be exactly what, you know, when it's funny, Martin Jarman, I tweeted out what he had said in the Zoom to, you know, reporters, you know, a little bit ago. And there was a couple of people on the Minnesota beat who saw that tweet, and they were like, he just described PJ Fleck. It was like five things, and they were like, that sounds like PJ Fleck.
Oh, I'd love that. I think PJ Fleck would be, especially coming off of Chip, Bruce. You know, Chip's kind of a grump. He's a really smart football guy. I mean, I know you've had many conversations with him talking football. Chip knows more about football than I'll ever know. But you did a good job characterizing this. He's not the type of guy that's going to go ask alums for money. He's not the type of guy that's going to beg a kid to go. PJ strikes me as the type of guy who would. Doesn't he strike you that way, Fleck?
He does. You know, like when I was a sideline reporter, my crew did a couple of their games, and he has the vibe a little bit of like a Peloton instructor.
Right. Right.
You know,
that's
and
good.
I'm not saying that's necessarily a bad thing.
That's a good thing, by the way.
I think that would be a good
thing. That'll be the opposite of
coming
Chip.
Coming off a Chip, that'd be great.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, now, look, it's a different job. He was in the easier side of the Big Ten, and he still didn't have a winning record in the Big Ten, right? And now all of a sudden, you know, it's not like you're trying to hire the USC coach here. You're trying to hire the guy across town. But there, you know, look, there's some good players there, you know, and I agree with Mark. It seems like they do have some really good kids and a really strong culture. You know, it's going to be a rough schedule next year, given for who they face and all of that as they transition into a conference that honestly Fleck knows. You know, again, and they're going to try to move fast. But the other thing to keep in mind also is, you know, from what I understand, Chip had most of the staff, his assistant coaches, just got new 2-year deals. So they're kind of taken care of. So whoever comes in probably is going to have to keep a lot of the staff.
Right. At least initially.
Hey, Bruce, this is great, man. Thank you very much for
coming. I am sending Mason right now the Riley Feldman Girl Scout
Sign
order
me up,
form,
Bruce.
So well, you're going to get.
Thank you, guys.
Riley's going to get something out of this appearance. God bless her. Thank you for doing this, man. I know everybody's calling you today. We appreciate you coming on with
us. Thanks, Bruce.
Always a pleasure, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see ya.
There's Bruce Feldman, great college football writer, sideline, all that kind of stuff, you know. PJ Fleck is interesting. I meant to ask him, you know, what about Bill O'Brien? Bill O'Brien
got hired in Boston.
I heard they're down the road. Is it done? Because he'd be a really interesting hire too. Bill
O'Brien.
No,
I heard. Okay, so
heard he's going to wind up at Boston College.
I think it's done. And what's interesting about that was, you know, he was going to be the offensive coordinator
at Ohio State. Yeah.
So by vacating that, he started this domino effect.
So you guys, you Chip Kelly, anti-Chip Kelly, have Bill O'Brien to thank.
Thank you, Bill O'Brien.
All right.
Can we get go to Wheel of Questions? But I want to talk about that because I think there's a lot that there's more to this.
Good. We'll talk about
Bergman,
the more
I'm including
to this.
You in this Girl Scout cookie order form. You too, Brian. All
order
you
up.
Dudes.
Order
up. I did it last year, and I keep getting emails for Riley F., and I was like, who's Riley F.?
Oh, so you're good. You got
I'm already there.
All right, I'm sending it to Mason.
Okay,
right,
cool.
Brian, I'll send it to you.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Coming up next for you, we will spin the wheel. It is Super Bowl Friday. We're getting ready for the big game. In the meantime, you know, Valentine's Day is Wednesday. It's kind of all happening at once now. You got the Super Bowl, then you got Valentine's Day on Wednesday. Don't mess this up. The one surefire way to show that she's special is with bouquets. That's short for bouquets. Don't be that guy. That guy who's like scrounging around the grocery store next Wednesday night trying to find flowers that are decent for your wife or your girlfriend or your significant. I've got a way to cross Valentine's Day off your list, and I can save you 25% off from Bouquets right now. You know how some flowers arrive and they go bad in a day or two? Bouquets, totally different. They use the very best flower farms, including one on the side of a volcano. It is easy. You can buy roses one click, bam, or choose one of their unique modern designs you can't find anywhere else, like the 100 red roses you've heard about. Valentine's Day is Wednesday. I placed my order early. I picked my delivery date. You should do that too. Be the hero on Valentine's Day. Go to Bouquets.com. Use promo code ESPN for 25% off. That's Bouquets.com. Promo code ESPN. Bouquets. Promo code ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Okay, so this has been something. I threw this on the wheel.
By the way, we just did have an earthquake, just for the record.
4.7. Tell the details.
4.7, 7 miles from Thousand Oaks. Now, I don't work for Caltech or anything like that, but I looked it up. That's what I think it is.
So my daughter Riley is in Thousand Oaks. That's where she lives.
Oh,
with
her
mom.
Did she feel it?
She did not feel it at all.
You didn't feel it.
I was standing.
You're the only person that
maybe
didn't feel it.
Maybe your family is immune to earthquakes.
Yeah, we're from LA. Right. We're kind
of no, you said things. You feel nothing.
I felt nothing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nothing.
This is a controversy created by an influencer named Tinks.
Hey, Tinks.
T-I-N-X.
Okay. Tinks.
Fancy.
So, she has shared an opinion. She has more than 1 million followers. And here's her opinion. If you invite a person to a restaurant of your choosing for your birthday, you should pay for everybody.
If it's your birthday?
That's according to Tinks.
Okay.
Brian Cohen, agree or disagree?
Oh, you strongly disagree here.
It's your birthday. You say, hey, it's my birthday on Friday. I'm having a get-together at, wherever, Yard House.
Right.
If you guys want to come by. If we come by for your birthday, should you pick up the tab?
Heck no. I'll pay myself, and I ain't paying for everybody else.
Greg?
If I am inviting you to my birthday at the restaurant of my choosing,
right,
I should pay for the whole thing, yes. Mm-hmm.
Mace?
I have been in this spot, and I do pay for the whole thing. In fact, you even took me to...
I invited you to Yard House, and a bunch of us went. I think there was like 5 or 6 of us.
Right, and I tried to pay.
Tried, and I paid for the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if I'm inviting you to dinner with me...
Strongly agree with
Brian. I mean, if I'm inviting you to dinner, I'm having a...
It's your birthday, then you don't pay.
Exactly.
You think you don't pay?
No.
Oh, yeah. I think you absolutely
pay. On the road, we take it. We did it for Michael last week.
But
Michael's
you invited
birthday
them.
Is the
but
30th.
Michael always pays.
Right, but we didn't let him pay for his dinner.
You
his
didn't
own
let
birthday.
Him pay?
No.
But you invited him out. He didn't invite you out. It's different. If he invited you out
but
for his birthday.
But it's my birthday in this scenario. Why am I paying on my birthday?
Because you're doing the inviting.
Right.
You're not being invited.
If somebody else takes you to dinner for your birthday, that's different.
Yes.
They pay. But if you say, hey, we're all getting together at Yard House, that suggests that you're paying.
Yes. 100%.
That's like when I had a birthday party at
it's your birthday?
Yeah.
And you say, hey, it's my birthday on Friday. We're all meeting at the Yard House. I pick up the tab for you.
No.
It's your birthday.
No. I think the tab picker upper's got to be the birthday person who invited everybody to dinner.
It's the invite. It's inviter.
It's the inviter.
The inviter is the one that pays.
Yeah.
See,
whoever invites pays.
What we do on the Laker road trips is whoever goes out, if we're going out to celebrate somebody's birthday, like Trudell is in November, Michael's in January, we all go out as a big group, and whosever birthday it is exempt. They don't pay. Everybody right. else pays.
Yeah, I'm going to disagree strongly on that.
You're with Tinks.
I've been
you
in
are pro Tinks.
I've been in this spot, and I think Tinks has it right.
Tinks is absolutely correct.
Tinks is being hammered for her opinion.
Do we know what she does? Is she's an influencer, but is she like selling clothes? Or
she's an influencer.
She's an influencer.
She does Tinks things.
The equivalent
you
of
see her? There's Tinks.
Hey Tinks. Yeah, she's
Hi, Tinks.
Cute. Yeah. Influencer is one job that annoys me, and the other one is entrepreneur. Anybody that says they're an entrepreneur actually means I don't have a job right now.
Exactly.
You know who says that?
No.
Cappy.
Cappy tried to sell me on his sided thing
Cappy
last night.
Cappy is an entrepreneur.
He is.
Hey, Michael, get in here. Mike, play a song.
MT.
All right. So this is what we're debating.
All right.
If it's your birthday and you say, hey, it's my birthday on Friday. A bunch of us are getting together at the Yard House. Should you then pay for everybody? I think if it's your birthday, everybody should pay for you. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree. If it's your birthday, everybody should treat you. And if you say, well, I want to take you guys out to celebrate my birthday, then it's up to you to pay.
Right. That's the distinction. The distinction is the invite. If I invite you to dinner for my birthday, right. I'm paying. Right. If you invite me
exactly.
to dinner,
yeah.
then they're paying for yeah. you.
Doesn't that make sense, Ireland?
No, I don't think you'd have to pay
I'm
on your
birthday. I'm completely
on
the same
I don't
page
think you'd
as
have to pay on
Real
your birthday.
Real friends pick up your birthday tab.
Do you yeah. understand what you're saying, Ireland? You're saying, hey, I'm inviting you out to dinner, but you have to pay for me.
Right. Yeah, matter of fact, Greg, put it on your calendar. My birthday's in July. We're all going to Nobu, and you're paying.
Yeah, I need a free dinner. I'm going to invite over everybody to the restaurant I'm eating
exactly.
at.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No,
I will invite you out for your birthday.
No, we took Michael out for his True. Birthday a week ago. He's the only one who didn't pay.
But you invited him out.
You invited
right,
him.
Right. Yeah. But you guys are making it about the invite.
I think
it should be about the birthday,
no.
right?
No,
yeah, it's about
no,
the birthday.
It's the invite.
The invite.
Now, your friends could offer to pay for you if they were nice.
They could.
But
somebody,
if you invited them, they expect you to pay.
Yeah, absolutely, Michael.
Ireland, come on, Ireland. What's wrong with your protocol? Your etiquette.
So, MT, you were, let's pivot completely on it.
Yes.
You were in the ceremony yesterday for the unveiling of the Kobe mm-hmm. statue. What was it like inside that space?
Oh, man, it was so good. I heard you guys talking about how the Lakers know how to put on celebrations and ceremonies, and they sure do, boy. Linda Rambis and Jeannie and, of course, Vanessa arranged this, organized everything, got all the legends to show up. Jerry West was there. Yeah. We hadn't seen Jerry West
I was
West
very
around.
Glad to see Jerry there. There's yes. been
Phil
there's
was there.
Been a lot of mm-hmm. well-documented animus yeah. between Jerry and the Lakers, and I'm glad that both sides said, you know what,
for Kobe?
Screw it, for Kobe,
yeah.
you're coming,
right.
and I'm glad Jerry went.
Well, Jerry was the reason why Kobe was a Laker. He just
right.
True.
He found Kobe and moved heaven and earth to get him. He recognized Kobe's talent the first moment he met him, but it was so special being in that place and seeing all the dignitaries who came out to honor and remember Kobe, and just the regular people, Laker fans were there.
Out there now, right?
Yeah, not everybody could get in the tent, of course, but there were a lot of Laker season ticket holders in the building, so it was so, I was so proud and blessed to be a part of all of that.
I have a super rich friend. Mm-hmm. Who couldn't get into the tent, couldn't mm-hmm. get into the ceremony. So he went to the Lakers, bought a suite for the night.
Right.
And with the suite, he got to go into
oh,
the
cool.
tent.
Oh, that's smart.
So he dropped
he
a bunch
around.
Of money for a suite
yeah.
and found his way in.
Definitely worth it.
Yeah.
And the statue, the sculptor did a great job because it looks exactly like
it
Kobe.
It does. It really does.
Doesn't
and
look
then,
like Michael B. Jordan or something, you know?
Yeah. they're going to be, explain this, they're going to be three statues is my
well,
understanding.
That was the first I had heard of that, and I'm guessing the other two are coming down the road.
Yeah.
Well, the other one will be with Kobe and Gigi.
Okay.
And the third one will be with number 24.
Oh, nice. And they're going to be at different entrances,
I would
I
imagine
think.
So, yeah. I'd love to be side by side. We don't know where they'll be laid out, but that's kind of cool. I have three statues.
Yeah, it was really a cool day. Mm-hmm. I loved seeing it. Phil Jackson was great. I thought
well,
Phil
you know
was
what
great.
Was weird
yeah.
was when Phil walked in, it was weird for me seeing Phil walk with a cane. You know,
yeah, I know.
And like he almost seemed frail. And then when he got up, he just nailed it.
Yeah, he was great storyteller.
Right.
Really, really interesting guy.
Yeah.
All in all, a terrific day. Now,
oh, yeah. Good game, too.
And it was a good
the
game.
The Lakers did well. I mean, we're not in the moral victories, but they're missing four key players, and playing against that Denver team, they could have won the game.
Yeah, yeah.
So Michael,
they were in it, completely in it.
I asked Mace earlier, if Denver played the Clippers in a playoff series, yeah. who do you think would win?
Oh, that's a great one. If both teams are fully healthy, Clippers.
Yeah. Really?
Clippers are good.
Oh, that's
man.
Awful.
We hate
that's
the Clippers.
News.
We're jealous of the Clippers because they're so good.
I'm not jealous. I just hate them.
Yeah, and we don't want to see them win, but boy, they're my favorite to come out of the West right now.
Because
God, I hope
because he does basically no interviews, and they let him do no interviews. Kawhi's not getting any love, but Kawhi should be an MVP candidate.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's been that good.
He might be the best player in basketball right now when he's healthy.
I agree with you.
On both ends of the floor, the way he plays? Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
I agree with you.
He is special.
And he is, if you aren't paying attention to what Kawhi Leonard is doing, you should. Because that dude is playing. You know, Michael, he's shooting 51% from three in the month of January.
Jeez.
That's insane.
I mean, it's D'Angelo Russell's shooting 48%.
Yeah. Right,
I mean, they're both just filling it. But Kawhi is also an elite defensive
defender,
player.
That's the thing about his defense.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm looking like crazy for the Kawhi Leonard laugh. I cannot find it.
Yeah.
Somebody must have taken it off the board.
Well, what's weird is if you don't, he's never going to promote himself.
No.
And the Clippers.
Thank you.
The Clippers aren't the type of team that necessarily promotes him.
Right.
So he's, I mean. It is. There are politics involved in these things.
He is the He's the George Harrison of the NBA.
There you go.
That's a very good way to describe
it. All right,
how many people think listening to us right now know who George Harrison is?
Brian, you know who George Harrison is, don't you?
The Beatle?
Yeah. You're talking to Brian?
Just saying, Brian's young.
Brian's our music guy.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
I'm a big fan of the Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds song, if you know what I'm saying.
Good time. Right.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. All right, 2 o'clock call of the day, 877-710-ESPN. What did you think of the game last night? I thought the Lakers played really well. Not in the class of Denver, at least at this moment, not with the injuries they had, but I thought they played really hard last night and had a chance to win the game.
By the way, you guys just feel the earthquake?
Yeah. Yes.
It was in Malibu, 4.5.
Yeah. You know when earthquakes like that start, you just hope they don't get bigger.
I know.
That's the scary part.
The words that scare me, foreshock.
Because you know that means the foreshock big one's coming later.
Foreshock comes and then a bigger one comes.
I never understand aftershock's term because it's another earthquake to me. What do you mean aftershock? Especially if they come like 20, 30, 40 minutes later.
Yeah, but they're never as big if it's an aftershock.
They get little at some point. Yeah. All right, let me tell you, 877-710-ESPN, by the way. So I am working with the Southern California Hyundai dealers. Love my Elantra. I'm driving a hybrid Elantra. And I'm getting 53 miles per gallon, which is insane. And it's great with the price of gas right now. It's a difference maker for your budget. And by the way, for a week, I got to drive one of their 2024 Ioniq 6, which is a full EV. Spectacular car. This would be a great choice to make it your first official all-electric ride. And I've checked out all the cars at Hyundai. The Sonata is beautiful. The Santa Fe... really fun. Hyundai's got the right car for you, I guarantee it. Every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 3 years or 36,000 miles of complimentary maintenance for confidence now and miles down the road. Do like I did. Get in, get away with a great deal. It is your journey. Visit buyhyundai.com or see your SoCal Hyundai dealer today. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.